This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Hey everyone, great show today as we revisit episode 5 of the TriDot Podcast, which originally published on December 2nd, 2019, and was called Behind the Scenes Optimizing Your Training Schedule. Listen, we've got well over 100 episodes of the TriDot Podcast now, which is awesome. But as the list of episodes grows, we want to make sure that our core episodes don't get lost in the shuffle. If you scan our list of episodes and see the word revisiting in the episode name, let that stand as a beacon calling you to listen, as all of our revisiting episodes are handpicked by our staff for their importance. As for episode 5, maybe you heard this back on December 2nd and haven't thought about it since, or maybe you never went back and even listened to this episode at all from 2019. Either way, we're going to revisit the clutch information from this episode. Joining me for this revisiting is Dr. BJ Lieber. BJ serves as the product owner of Predictive Fitness. He graduated from the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine with a doctorate in physical therapy and rehabilitation science. He's a board-certified orthopedic specialist, a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and a USA Triathlon Level 1 coach. He specializes in comprehensive movement testing and is an avid triathlete himself with over 50 tries under his belt. BJ, welcome to this revisiting of episode 5 of the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. It's good to be on and excited to talk about this stuff.
So here's how this will go. We'll do a fresh warm-up with my guest, BJ Lieber, today. Then we'll listen to the original main set from episode 5, where I interviewed Jeff Boer and John Mayfield about our training schedule. Then BJ and I will spend a couple minutes just reflecting on what we just heard. And BJ, I think at the end of the episode, you have some new information today for us. Is that correct? Like you'll be teasing some new TriDot app functionality today. Am I right?
Yeah, I've had the privilege over the last several months of being under the hood, so to speak, with TriDot and our software development team. And they just do a phenomenal job. And there's some really cool things that they've been working on to make utilization of TriDot for your training even easier.
Super, super dope. Well, I'm Andrew, the average triathlete. I'm pumped to listen to myself talk for the next 45 minutes with Jeff and John, and then even more pumped to talk with BJ afterwards. Our show today is brought to you by RaceX. What TriDot does to optimize your triathlon training, RaceX does to optimize your race execution. Finally, no more guessing at what your paces should be on race day. RaceX uses predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to help you nail your race. Your fitness, the race course, race day weather, bike aerodynamics, and more are all examined to determine how you should pace your swim, bike, and run. No more overcooking the bike and dying on the run. No more holding back and wondering if you could have gone faster. RaceX specializes in optimized race pacing plans. It also provides race split predictions and helps you run what-if analysis so you can see the impact of losing 5 pounds or buying better wheels or many other possibilities. There is both a free and premium version of RaceX, so head to myracex.com, create your account, put your upcoming races on the calendar, and have fun exploring all the race pacing goodness RaceX provides for you.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
When we revisit a podcast episode, we also like to revisit its warm-up question. We'll get to hear Dr. BJ Lieber answer the question, plus we'll get to hear what our audience has to say on Facebook. When we first started the show, we were not throwing these warm-up questions out on social media like we do now, so I'm eager to hear what y'all think of this one. Now, this warm-up question was inspired by a Facebook post by TriDot athlete Ron Ramos, where he compared the nuanced wine palate of a sommelier to the nuanced aches and pain palate of triathletes, pointing out that we all know the difference between the pain induced by a long stamina workout and a shorter but harder interval workout. The pain is different based on what you just finished. So it led to the question, what is something you have compared triathlon to? Because Ron was comparing the aches and pains of tri training to the sophisticated palate of a sommelier. Now, back on episode 5, Jeff Boer compared the dedication to your craft that triathletes have to the same dedication within MMA fighters. John Mayfield referenced a Mark Twain quote while comparing triathlon to a round of golf, arguing that both are just a really good walk gone bad. And I compared pacing myself at social events as an introvert to pacing yourself in different types of workouts. So all of that background, BJ, setting you up here, what is something that you have compared triathlon to?
Well, this is kind of a funny story. It's not my best moment in life, but
okay.
This question reminded me of my wife and I, my wife mostly, going through labor and delivery of our third child. We have 4 children.
That was mostly her, correct?
It was all her. And it's funny because I was thinking about this question you posed, and we had this game plan going into our third, where my wife is a big runner, and I guess this isn't applicable to the entire triathlon, but the run portion definitely relates.
Sure.
But my wife is an avid runner and, you know, marathoner, Boston qualifier. And so she had this idea, and it was her idea, of going into our third labor and delivery for our third child, that she wanted to go natural childbirth, and she was able to do that with our second. And she had this game plan of the third. She wanted it to go a little bit easier. So in her mind, she wanted to envision her labor like a marathon. And be okay. Thinking of, okay, I'm at this stage of the marathon and I'm pacing myself and I just have this much more to go. And in her mind, it was going to work for her to kind of mentally wrap her mind around labor and delivery like she would her marathon. So as being the good husband, you know, I'm trying to be her coach for her. And I'm thinking of, we had this game plan at mile, the halfway mark, you know, we're going to be talking about this. And so we get to we fast forward to the actual labor and delivery. We get to the portion of things are getting pretty intense and heating up pretty quick. And I'm thinking in my mind, oh, she's at the proverbial mile 20 mark and about ready to hit the wall. We just got a little bit more to go. Like, think of it that way. So I made the mistake of going ahead and like saying it like that, 'cause I thought this was our plan the whole time.
Sure.
And I'm saying mile 20, and in her mind, she's thinking like she's got 400 meters left to go. And so I start saying, hey, honey, it's okay. You're at mile 20. You're doing great. And she just looks at me and she's just like, just shut up. You know, just don't even stop talking. Stop talking about this marathon analogy. So right then and there, it was like the running analogy went out the window, and
it was over
hanging on. So that was my story of like comparing an actual running event or triathlon event to something in the real world. It didn't go so well, but that's what that reminded me of.
Well, and we obviously, BJ, don't have firsthand experience there, but on the surface, it seems like it could be a good comparison, but in a marathon, you know, that finish line is at 26.2 miles. Whereas in labor and delivery, I mean, that can be done in an hour, that can be done in 24 hours. And you don't necessarily know where that finish line is. So
to
your credit, it kind of seems like you both had a different notion of where in the race you were. So,
which is very much like the triathlon. Like sometimes things don't go as expected. You just got to
sure.
go with the flow. And sometimes you got to scrap your plan.
Yeah,
that's exactly what
absolutely.
Happened.
Absolutely right. Well, guys, we're going to throw this question out to you. It was originally on episode 5 of the Tri Dot podcast, and we brought it back today for this revisiting. So go to the Facebook page. Make sure you are a part of the I Am Tri Dot Facebook group. We have thousands of triathletes just talking swim, bike, and run every single day. And this question will be thrown out to you. What is something in your life you have compared triathlon to? Can't wait to hear what you have to say.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2...
This show is brought to you by Precision Fuel and Hydration, who have a wide range of tools and products to help you personalize your fueling and hydration strategy so that you can perform at your best. Longtime listeners of the show will know them as Precision Hydration, but they've changed their name to reflect the fact that they've been helping athletes nail both aspects of their performance for a long time now. Everyone sweats differently, and the amount of fuel we require varies depending on factors like duration and intensity of our activity. So a one-size-fits-all approach to fueling and hydration just doesn't cut it. Head to precisionfuelandhydration.com and use their free online sweat test and quick carb calculator to understand your fluid, electrolyte, and carbohydrate needs during training and racing. Then you can book a free one-on-one video consultation with the team to refine your hydration and fueling strategy for your upcoming race. As a listener of the show, you can get 10% off your first order of fueling and hydration products by using the code TRIDOT10 at the checkout. And once again, that's precisionfuelandhydration.com. So today, Jeff and John will explain everything about TRIDOT's training calendar. Now, when I first started using TRIDOT, I honestly thought I would feel confined to the program. But I immediately found trusting the process to be liberating. It freed me from the confines of the few workouts I knew how to do. Jeff, there are a ton of factors that generate what workout TRIDOT athletes do on any given day. Walk me through some of the main variables that generate the training schedule.
Absolutely. There's a lot of built-in flexibility, of course, and moving your stuff around so that confinement's not there. But I'll share, you mentioned the training calendar, and that's what a lot of our athletes, our users say they see as the name of the screen that they're on. There's daily training or the calendar that shows the week. But there's a whole lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. And before I dig into that and kind of lift the hood and show what's going on there or describe it, I just really want to stress that there's a lot going on there, and don't get hung up on all of that.
Which is why we say trust the process.
Right, trust the process. So it's not a need to understand all of that to be able to execute. The back end is sophisticated, the front end is simple. Just do the workouts and you're going to get the results. Same as using a smartphone, to travel somewhere you've never been. You don't have to understand GPS and satellite technology just to plug it in. Here's where I want to go and follow the directions. So there's a lot of technical stuff going in, but I know there's a lot of data geeks and nerds and people love, to know. And some people are just curious,
Absolutely.
They just want to know what's going on. Yeah. So I love it. This is, I could do this all day. I promise we won't, but I'll try to keep it succinct, but share some of that. So on the back end, you drop in a race. All of the data that an athlete enters goes in, starting with the season planner. Actually, when you drop in a race, change a race, A race, B race, whatever that is, there's a whole process of calculations that go, how much time is there between now and then, and how should the phases be broken up from phases to mesocycles, microcycles, and drills down. When it goes through that process, it takes in athlete profile information, your age, your training age, your gender, your body composition, your TRIDOT scores, your values. Those are normalized on a scale of 1 to 100, your swim dot, bike dot, run dot of your functional threshold in each of those. So we get an absolute value and then a relative value. So we only know that your bike is faster than your run, but by how much? And then we can look at your physiology and say, well, should you be faster on the bike than the run? You're a big person. You have to carry your weight on the bike, but you're using a mechanical wheel on the, carry your weight on the run using a bike wheel. And so there should be some differential there. So we can actually look at what are the physiological improvement opportunities for each of those as we optimize. Then we have a training stress profile, which measures an athlete's ability to absorb stress over a certain period. So whether it's neural stress, muscular stress, aerobic stress, threshold stress.
That's very different for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's different per discipline. So you're able to do those differently because you've been doing the different disciplines longer. Your body composition is different, your age. True. All of those things are different for each person by discipline, by energy system you use. And they're different by time period. So each of those metrics, different disciplines, different energy systems, and then different time periods. How much stress can you take in a day, in a microcycle, a week, a month, mesocycle? So all of those are factored in. A bike to run factor is another thing when we compare your bike and your run. And those, there's a lot of overlap there. So if you stress one over the other, there's a cost, and so we look at that opportunity cost.
Because we have three sports to train for.
Exactly.
Not just one.
Yeah. And the swim doesn't overlap as much, some, but the bike and the run sure do. And so if you're going to emphasize one, you need to look at what does emphasizing it mean? Does it mean more intensity, more time, more frequency, more overall volume?
And then what does that do to the other sport?
Correct. What do all of those things do? So what levers are you pulling? It's easy to say bike focused or run focused, but really why to quantify that? So that goes into your optimization. Your weekly volumes are currently, what you're doing by each discipline, your current long sessions, how far are you going? Not just that particular week, but there's an algorithm that looks over the past several weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, to see what kind of a long session are you capable of doing while keeping your risk, your injury risks in check. Then there's your actual projected race splits. So we look at, okay, how long is it going to take you to finish these races? What does your long session, your terminal long session need to be? So when we're 3 weeks, 4 weeks out from a race, what does that long session need to be? What is your incrementable duration from week to week that we can get to? How much time do we have between the two? Now and then, what B races are in there? Is there even the race beyond the current phase? Is that race have a higher demand than the current? So if you're training for an Olympic in 7 weeks, but you know, 10 weeks after that, you have an Ironman, well, this phase needs to have a higher long run, long bike, anticipating the phase that follows. And so there's all of those kind of things going on to that calculations.
So a few factors.
A few. And then you're looking at the taper recovery requirements. We pull in, we're synced in with Strava and Garmin and Polar, and we're pulling in your health data, stress data, resting heart rate, all of that kind of stuff, even your genetics. So we're pulling in your genome file. We track about 20, a little more than 20 SNPs. Those are single nucleotide polymorphisms. Big word there. So that's
what a word to drop on the podcast. John, can you say that word?
Nope.
So those are markers on your genes and helps us determine from a genetic standpoint what your training response is going to be, your aerobic potential, your recovery rate, your injury predisposition, and then we can plan accordingly. When we look at those volume changes, increases, how much intensity can you take and kind of what's optimal. And then drilling even further down to the day, the week, and the time of day even. So we're looking at elevation, temperature, humidity, what should your training intensities be if you're doing a workout in the morning, in the afternoon, inside, outside, and calibrating everything. So there's a lot. You mentioned, that's a lot of data, yes. It's something that has been incremented over 15 years. We continue to get more and more and more granular as we learn more and more about how the human body responds to training. And so with, tens of thousands of athletes and tens of millions of training files have been prescribed, and doing it in a methodical, normalized, standardized way, we can track, measure, and improve. And unless you're tracking to this degree, you can't measure to this degree. And if you're not measuring, you can't improve it. It's not improvable if it's not measurable, objectively standardized.
Yeah, and that's one of the crazy things about TriDot over just, if people have like a cookie cutter, triathlon training program is that TriDot is always evolving. It's always learning, mm-hmm. right? So it's like you said, over the course of all those years, 11,000, calculations happening over millions of data files that athletes have uploaded over the years. It's just constantly improving how you need to train.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. We had about four or five years ago now, 2015, we were upgrading our optimization engine, and the engineers that were working on it, he was just fascinated with it all. He came from a mechanical engineering background. Yeah. He'd been doing this for 20 years, but I was just kind of fascinated, like, wow, triathletes, this is pretty cool. And so he said he ran a test. He wanted to see when optimization occurred for a training phase, how many calculations were happening. And it's a functional training, a functional language, Erlang. It's a technical side of it. But he said he tracked how many simultaneous calculations were occurring. And he said when he checked, there's more than 11,000 individual calculations happening at the same time. So there's more than that were stopping and starting.
And that's for one athlete for one phase.
One athlete, one phase. Yeah.
And so that's how many calculations are choosing what workout is on your training plan for that particular day.
That's all of the workouts on all the day, because they're all in context.
Yeah.
There's nothing done in isolation. Everything relates to and impacts everything else around it.
So there are so many individual swim, bike, and run workouts that appear on an athlete's schedule. Jeff, how does TriDot choose which workout to prescribe on each day?
So there is optimal ways of setting things up. We build, again, like I mentioned, from the season to the phase to the mesocycle, microcycle, down to daily sessions. So there's a lot of options. There's weekly patterns that we use where the user can enter their preferences. One of the things that you look at when you see a daily session, I guess at that more granular level, a lot of times you'll hear athletes talk about distance-based workouts. Like, I'm doing 1 mile repeats today, or my buddy is, or you've heard of that. And so you go out and do those. And anytime there's distance-based sessions, they always need to be derived from the duration. I know that's a lot of D's there, but your body doesn't know how much ground you cover when you're working out. All it knows is here's how hard I'm working and here's how long I need to hold that effort.
Yeah.
And so we come at it from that standpoint. What is the optimal time period for the particular effort level for that particular individual on that day, that set, that repeat, whatever it is. And then we back into the distance they need to cover. And so sometimes you might have athletes like distance-based run. They might be doing 1,200 repeats or 1,400 repeats or 1,600, 1,800, whatever, to be in that sweet spot of here's how long you need to hold that intensity for the optimal effect.
And then that's gonna even change. Like I think of like the swim workouts that appear on my training program. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll have certain names, and so there's one that's threshold 300s. You know, and every time a threshold 300 workout is prescribed to me, that workout might be a little bit different each time it's prescribed because it's not necessarily about.
Yeah, exactly right. It's not about that particular set, I guess, being done a certain specific way. For example, it could be that broken 150s or threshold 300s or whatever that is. A particular person that needs that workout, the structure of that workout and the components, they may not cover a 300 in the same amount of time that you cover a 300.
Yeah.
So someone else can have threshold 150s, threshold 250s.
And it serves the same purpose 400. As my
the same, 300s. It's the same. If you took out the distance covered, it would be a certain number of repeats for a certain amount of time with a certain amount of rest. You're covering 300, someone else is covering 200, someone else is covering 400. And so it's done that way. So for a particular swim set, there's 280 variations for every single swim set.
Wow.
So it's based on intensity level, how fast you're going, how far you're covering those different distances, breaking it up by 50s, and then different times. Is that whole workout, are you squeezing into 40 minutes, an hour and 10, hour and 20? And so there's a different amount of rest in between sets or rounds of efforts. So yeah, there's a very, one set has many, many different versions or combinations.
I know I, for one, am glad that there is somebody else doing all of that work for me. And I just have to get my workout and go to the pool and get it done. And I reap the benefits from it. So, when we complete a workout, TriDot gives us a TrainX score based on how closely we completed the workout as prescribed. Now we'll talk in depth about TrainX another day, but for now, do these scores affect our upcoming training?
No, not directly. So the data that is used to populate the TrainX score is the same data that is used to influence future training, but the score itself does not have an impact on future training. So really the intent of TrainX is to provide objective feedback back to the athlete as to how well they achieved the purpose of that session. So what kind of session it is going to determine how it's scored, how it's graded based on that incoming data. So whether a session is a threshold set, whether it's a stamina set, whether it's active recovery, the intent of the session is really going to determine how and even what metrics are used to score it. So for example, we primarily use pace and power to score the threshold sets, the stamina sets, because those are more objective metrics to use. However, yeah, on things like active recovery and the easy runs at zone two, we're going to utilize heart rate for that because that's the intent of those sessions, is to provide for that easy set, either to develop that aerobic efficiency or to provide for that active recovery. So really it's a motivation tool. So it's that immediate gratification when you nail a set and you come back and you see that score and you get that little bit of a reward, a little bit of applause, even if it's just you and
I believe the all score. The TriDot athletes out there call it the unicorn when they get 100 on a workout. They weren't expecting to get 100.
And so it's motivation. So I know for me, I go out with every set with the intent of trying to maximize my TrainX score. And I'm always real quick coming back to sync my data so I can see exactly what my score was. And that's really what it is. It's a game. It's something that's fun. It does not influence future training, but it's just really something for the athlete to use as motivation and accountability.
So whether I score an 86 or whether I score a 93, that's not necessarily affecting what my training is going to be moving forward.
That's correct. That doesn't directly affect the same data that affects that score affects your future training, but that score itself doesn't. But so there's an indirect relationship, but I think the most powerful thing is that affects people's desire to do the training as prescribed. Mm. And there's no perfect session. You can't control all the variables around you. All kinds of stuff can happen. Your watch can, whatever. Stuff happens. But when people have that focus, that metric, and they say they just want to get a good, respectable score, not perfection, but 70, 80, 90, somewhere in there, if they keep trying to do it, they're going to be very a lot better at performing in the long run their sessions. And they're going to start learning how to do all of the sessions better. And if you get in there, you're not looking for perfection, but looking to do the best you can on that day, you're going to get so much more out of the training. So in that regard, it directly, you know, affects your training.
Got it. So assessment weeks are a monthly staple on the training calendar. Many TriDot users express a love-hate relationship with the assessments. Why does TriDot schedule these once a month?
So these are incredibly important sessions. If we had to identify what was the most important session that's in an athlete's training plan each month, it would probably be these assessments. And because they serve so many functions, and they're repeated on a regular basis for several reasons. First, it establishes their functional thresholds in the swim, bike, and run. And this provides us with several pieces of information. It's used for benchmarking their progress. So we want to see these assessments improve on a month to month. That gives us that objective measurement of how an athlete is progressing and how they're improving. Their intensities are based on these assessment results. So their paces on the swim, their power and heart rate zones on their bike, the heart rate zones and paces on the run are all based on results of these assessments. So we want to make sure that those are current. If the athlete goes 2, 3, 4 months without updating their assessments, they're now using stale data for their training intensity. So yeah, we want to make sure that the athletes are training at the proper intensity for their current fitness level, not where they were 3 or 4 months ago, for better or for worse. So sometimes athletes take time off and maybe they aren't, they shouldn't be running the same pace they were running 3 or 4 months ago. Or maybe they should be running faster than they were 3 or 4 months ago, but we don't know that. We don't know exactly what that pace should be without testing to determine these functional thresholds, which in turn determine their assessments. They're hard sessions. They're all out best effort, which is probably why a lot of the athletes don't like them.
Yeah.
Because it's the polar opposite of a nice, easy session that, you know, stroll through the park. These are hard, but that's part of racing. It's a race skill that has to be developed. So it's very much a race day skill being dialed in. So if
that's
the only
a little
time
bit of learning how to push yourself, it's learning how to hurt.
It's learning how to race. If you show up to a race and you haven't really pushed yourself or gotten uncomfortable, gone to that place that we refer to as pain, since your last race, the guy who's been practicing it every month is probably going to beat you because he has that skill. He has that ability level. And it's really something that does have to be dialed in and refined. So it's learning what it feels like to push your body. It's being okay with that, uncomfortable, feeling of pushing the body. And, so there are several other things that it achieves, but they're very important. They update the training, they update the intensities, they benchmark progress, and they really teach the athlete how to race.
I know some athletes and myself when I first, you know, came on, sometimes you'd be tempted to skip the assessment for a month, and you think to yourself like, oh, like you know, this week isn't ideal for me. I know I'm not going to perform my best this week. There's no way I can hit, you know, the paces that I think I can hit. And so they kind of put it off, but I heard a coach tell me one time, hey, the assessment it's for the benchmarking that you just talked about, but there's also the purpose of it's kind of a recovery week. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
It is. The overall volume in those weeks goes down. Intensity and on other days goes down. So there is a dependence on this one to be your training value. If you think about going into that training week, and if you skip that workout, you say, oh, my, you know, benchmark, I'm not ready for it. I don't think it's going to improve. I already know what my 5K is, you know, whatever. You're going to go a very long, you could go up to 10 days without any significant quality,
wow,
which you're going to have a detraining during that time. And so we're counting on this, not just for the benchmarking, the mental toughness, the skills, the stress, you know, the grit factor, but to also have that training value. And so you're going to push to that level for a sustained, it's not an interval, it's a constant effort. So you're going to give that effort there. So that has a very significant training value. And it's generally right in the middle of the week. It depends on how you structure your weekly pattern based on your preferences, but it's generally going to be in the middle of the week when you do that.
Now, a typical week for me is a swim on Monday and Friday, cycling on Tuesday and Thursday, a run on Wednesday and Sunday, and a longer brick workout on Saturday. Now, this obviously will vary a little for everyone, but what is the reason for a consistent pattern?
There's a lot of reasons for that. The what you just described is kind of the base, the default. That's the optimal week. And there's a reason that's the optimal.
I'm glad I'm doing the optimal week. Good to know.
So if you load it, you know, log in on board to TriDot, that's the weekly pattern that's going to be there. You can come in and change that. You can add off days and change your long run, your long bike around. But that's the best. So that we call it a weekly pattern. The good thing for the consistency is because you get into a routine, your body gets into a routine. You make sure that there's adequate rest in between the different quality workouts, that they're spaced out, that your bikes and your runs are spaced out, the quality, and that you're getting this intermittent stimulus to the different energy systems. And so there's some things that are that are working, you know, your aerobic fitness in different areas, and you want to optimize that training. So making sure that they're all spaced out is great. If you think of, I think linearly, when I'm thinking through the pattern, usually the pattern is driven by when it starts with when your long bike has to be. You know, certain people, I can only do the long bike, you know, I can't do that in the middle of the week. So there's one day that has to be, maybe two, Saturday, Sunday. Then next is your long run. You know, when does that need to be? And the best day to do it is Wednesday. If you're doing on a Friday or a Saturday long bike, sort of spreading those out. So you're having that long sustained effort. You take a little bit longer to recover from them and they're spread out. So each one is a better quality. And then the training around each one is also better because you're recovering more fully in between them. Another big thing that people don't realize for having that Wednesday, you know, get up early, just do that long run, get it done. The benefit of having that on a Wednesday is when you work in other A races or B races and you start to taper. If that's a weekend run, say it's a long run on Saturday and a long bike on Saturday, a long run on Sunday. If you're going into a race the following weekend, you're probably going to taper that long Sunday run that's only 7 days out. And then you're going to go do a race, and then you're probably going to have recovery the following week. You're not going to be up for another long run. And so it might be two and a half weeks between long run to long run. So if you have a B race training up for an Ironman, that's three increasable weeks that you're going to skip and not be missing. But if you move that back to a Wednesday, you can do a long run on a Wednesday, race not the next weekend, but the next weekend. That's only 10 days away. And then the following week, and then another few days. So you have a Wednesday long run, probably a long run on that race. And so you're not going any more than a week and a half without that long run. And so you're not losing that fitness. And so in accumulation over a long period of time, you're having more sustainable, consistent weeks with your long runs and your long bikes intact. And so there's a benefit there. One of the worst scenarios when you drop in these off days, and can you imagine doing your long bike on a Sunday, all right, and then your long run on a Wednesday and selecting Tuesday off.
Oh.
So when you're doing that, you have, you know, your long bike is on a Sunday, so you're not going to do another quality bike session on a Monday. You're off on Tuesday. You're not going to do the same on Wednesday, so that leaves Thursday. So you've had 4 days. The fifth day, you know, you're going to do another bike, and then you can't do another one because 2 days later you're doing another long bike. So there's implications in this cascading effect, like a ripple effect of when days have to be. So with having your long bike traditionally on a Saturday or Sunday, your long bike is going to be on the other weekend day or a Wednesday. Run in the middle of the week, or even if it's not, you choose one of those 3 days. Typically it's the middle of the week, and then you're going to have an off day or not. It's better to not. Most people have an off day because they overtrain on all the other days. If you have a sustainable weekly pattern, this is a good routine, then you break it down and every day is easier to absorb and your body gets used to that. You don't have an off day of walking. You know, you do everything else in life consistently every day. You get used to doing it. And that's just part of what you do. So in all of those combinations, there's 28 possible combinations of weekly patterns where you have to optimize where you drop those days. So it's based on either default or the user's preference. User says, I want this day off, this long run, this long bike. And then there's a systematic ripple effect of how you, in an optimized way, put all of those other quality sessions and recovery sessions.
So this is something I see self-coached athletes struggle with a lot. Athletes that are new, it's a concept that's not always immediately grasped. But the frequency of workouts and the sequence of workouts are two very important training variables. I see a lot of coaches even neglect this when they're writing training plans. The way these sessions are planned out and how these sessions influence one another is an incredibly important variable. So all of that is taken care of by these features that Jeff has been describing. So it's just another advantage of utilizing optimized training so that you know that each one of these sessions is going to complement the next, and you're going to have adequate recovery one session to the next. That's another thing we see that's pretty common question among athletes coming to TriDot is, why is there not a default day off? And the fact of the matter is, you only need a day off when your other days have not been structured properly.
Yeah.
It is completely feasible to train 7 days a week for months and years on end. We've had hundreds of users that have been training 7 days a week for years. And it's because what goes into those 7 days is prescribed specifically for them. We're not having to rely on guesswork or assumptions to say, is this enough? Is this too much? You only need a day off when you've done too much. When you've done the proper amount of stress and you've done the proper amount of recovery, you can train perpetually 7 days a week. And in doing so, you're able to achieve more in those 7 days. So there are instances where you need a day off. There are those where you have to take a day off. Sometimes, you know, folks just don't have a day available for training. So that option is available, but I would say only use it in that case when there's just a hard and fast rule that you cannot train on any given day. Otherwise, take the day off here, there when you need to, whether schedule or body fatigue just says, hey, I need a day off. That's absolutely fine. But there's no reason to schedule a day off every week. All you're really doing is reducing the amount of time to achieve the same amount of work. So even scheduling a day off doesn't necessarily reduce the amount of training you have to do in a week. It just reduces the amount of time to achieve it.
So in a lot of ways, when an athlete sees what workout is on their calendar for that day, you know, A, it's about, hey, this is the best workout for you based on all the factors we talked about earlier, but it's also, this is the best day for you to do this workout in relation of recovering for your other workouts.
Exactly.
Yep.
So another feature TriDot users, you know, kind of enjoy and know is the fact that you can move workouts, right? I mean, it's, you know, you're not trapped. Like if it's, you know, if it's swim day and you missed your swim, but you have the chance to go run later that night, you can move those workouts around. And but based on what you're talking about, that doesn't sound like it's allowable, but it's not maybe the best thing to do. Is that a good way to say it?
It's optimized. So your training is optimized, but it's not about one workout. It's the cumulative effect of all of these little optimizations over a long period of time. So it's just more and more powerful. When you consistently do all these things, the training is so much more effective. So if you move one workout, skip one workout, anything, one workout is going to have a very minimal marginal effect on your overall fitness. And so just don't stress about that. That's another thing that I kind of mentioned when in the very first start. You mentioned all these things that are happening in the back, all this optimization that's happening. You're not going to jack it up. You know, just do your best. Do your best with the training score. Every session, do the best you can. Try to get in all your sessions. If you can't, no big deal. Move on. Whatever you do is going to be better, and it's going to produce more results more effectively because of the optimization. So life just happens. Don't stress about that.
And I would say when moving these sessions around, take these things we mentioned into consideration. What kind of session is being moved? Is it a long session? Is it a recovery session? Think about what are the implications of doing sessions back to back or three sessions in a row, and make sure that we're maintaining a frequency of workouts, a sequence of workouts that is going to be advantageous. We don't want to do 4 days in a row of hard runs, or we don't want to have 3 days of easy recovery sessions in a row. So those are the kinds of things that we want to consider and take into consideration when moving these sessions. It's a great conversation to have for those that work with the TriDot coach. They're experts at doing this, and they can help with that. But the self-coached athletes can absolutely do this on their own as well. Just look at it, identify what the session is, and when and where does it make sense to move that session.
Both of you guys have touched so well on what happens when life kind of gets in the way. You can skip a session, no big deal, just so long as that consistency and training is there. So let's say on a busy week, you know, if you can tell you're not going to get all of your scheduled sessions in, are there certain sessions you would recommend skipping over others?
Absolutely. If you know ahead of time, first of all, if it just happens and you're not expecting it, just skip the session and move on. If you're looking ahead and there's 2 or 3 days and you have, you know, multiple workouts and, you know, I can't get all of these run workouts in or all of these bike workouts in, get the quality session, the one with the most intensity in it. You know, get that session. But if it's a longer period of time, or you're looking, you know, just to prioritize, I would go, if you're in a race prep phase, you're building up, you know, your long sessions are increasing, make sure you get your long sessions in. That may mean if you're, you know, traveling for a week and you don't have access to a bike or you can't run or something like that, it may mean moving, you know, if you're leaving on a Wednesday and coming back on a Tuesday or something like that, you might move your long session closer to right before you leave. And then as soon as you get back, do another one. So it decreases the amount of time in between long sessions. So that's one strategy that you can use. If you're not always, you know, like I mentioned before, always use the quality session. Whatever has the most intensity in it, if you can only get in a few, do that. Try to get at least one session of each discipline in. And then after that, if you're going to prioritize, do the run, then the swim, and then the bike. Consistency, your lower limb, you know, durability, all that thing is so important on the run, unlike the swim and the bike as much. And so that's much more important. Injury prevention is, injury is going to happen a lot more on the run. So keeping that consistent and not stopping and starting is very important on the run. So those are the things that I do. When I look at it, obviously those are kind of done ad hoc. So that's not built into the optimization. So you kind of have to adjust those. You can use your coach, you know, to help advise you on those.
And that's where it is a great idea to invest in a coach at that point is when you know that there's a lot of life that gets in the way because they can advise you in those things. I know that. So I have a tried out coach, Ryan Tibble out there. He's awesome. And has given me some great advice. And I did, John said it like 5 minutes earlier and I was laughing to myself. Like I went on we had a beach trip with my family over the summer. And I didn't take anything to swim. I didn't take anything to bike. And I was like, oh, well, I'm there. I'll just do all my running sessions. And so in 3 days, back to back to back, you know, one of those was a zone two run, but two of those were longer duration, with high intensity sprinkled in kind of runs. And I left that beach trip. You know, my knee was kind of hurting. I had kind of a funky thing in my hip. And I had to back off of running for 2, 3, 4 weeks because of just the minor tweaks I picked up by stacking all that running back to back to back. Is that kind of a common thing you hear from athletes?
Absolutely. And this is something that's very common that the coaches work with their athletes. So many of the athletes are busy professionals. They travel, they have families that are have things going on. So rearranging the schedule is just a fact of life. Triathlon for vast majority of us is a hobby and something that is secondary or even tertiary to work and family and all those kinds of things. So we need to be flexible. And there's nothing wrong, as we've mentioned, with that. But doing it right is important. And our TriDot coaches are a fantastic resource in understanding and knowing and making those recommendations of how to rearrange the schedule, which sessions to drop, which ones to prioritize to maximize your overall results on race day.
I think we all have days, you know, where we're invited to join a club ride or a group run or something that kind of takes us out of our normal training routine for that day. But we're still logging some form of exercise. Does that abnormal exercise session impact the training calendar at all?
Yeah, it definitely does. And again, it's not just one session. So we're looking at the whole totality of the workout, not just even that session that week, but over the past 4 to 6 weeks on what you can do. So the more consistently you're training, the better. There's a lot of ways that you can do that if you're riding with a group ride. I mean, people need their social fix. They want to get out there, and that's important. That's just as important aspect of training.
I want to be a part of my club. Yeah. I want to train with TriDot.
Right. And so there's just a lot of ways. There's, choose to, if they're going a harder group, don't pull. Don't stay in the back if you're on a bike. If you need ease off. Opposite, if you're stronger than the group, get out ahead. I know when I was training for a while with a group, I was kind of bringing along a lot of newer athletes, and we'd meet at a coffee shop, 7 o'clock and rolling out. And I'd come at 6:20 and set up my trainer and get some threshold work in, and then take it off the trainer. They get there and we go ride. And so
creative,
I get the duration
I
needed,
yeah.
But I get that. And I get a few pulls, that were pretty hard, go out in front, circle around. And so you can work that stuff in if you need to. But any one session is not going to make or break, your training.
Now it goes without saying that the closer an athlete follows the program, the better the results. So, John, what advice do you have for our athletes on ways to follow the program?
Probably the most common tip I give is consistency is your best friend. Perfection is not required. Oftentimes, perfection can be counterproductive. Oftentimes, if you hit every single session prescribed in a month, there are probably sessions in there you shouldn't have done. Either you may not have been ready for the session, you may have made a sacrifice of something that wasn't necessarily necessary. So I would say a well-balanced, well-rounded triathlete is going to miss a couple sessions every month. Hopefully, they're the lower lower quality sessions, or the lower priority sessions, I should say. But consistency in training is going to be your best friend. That's where you're going to produce your best results. That's where you're going to still be able to enjoy the sport. That's where your job and your family is still going to be a priority. And it's going to afford you the opportunity to take the day off here and there, whether it be a day just where you're particularly busy and don't have time to get to the session. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you've got an illness coming on. Maybe you didn't sleep well. And oftentimes in that case, the best thing for you to do is just take the day off. And when you've trained consistently, you're going to have no negative impact from missing that session or two in that week. So, but yeah, if you've been sporadic in your training and now you still have to miss additional sessions on top of that, that's going to be a much bigger impact. So that what I preach to everyone is consistency is your path to your best results. So be consistent. Don't be obsessed with being perfect. Be consistent.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
Excellent main set right there from episode 5 of the podcast. It's really fun to me just to get to listen again to some of our first few episodes. And in some ways, it feels like we just recorded those. And in other ways, I can't remember a time where I wasn't doing the Tried Out podcast. So BJ, as you listened to that main set, what were maybe two or three nuggets that really jumped out to you? It's all information you know, but even still, hearing it articulated by Jeff and John is always a good time. BJ, what really struck you there?
Yeah, I'm always amazed when I talk to Jeff, just, you know, the designer of Tri-Dot. We always affectionately refer to him as the Dot Father. But just all the calculations, the algorithms that are going on behind the scenes, you know, the tens of thousands of calculations going on at one time, you know, in one moment for one user, for one training phase generation, those things just blow my mind. The engine that Tri-Dot has to do that. And as John mentioned throughout the podcast, just, you know, training doesn't require perfection. It just requires consistency. I've always loved that thought, because very rarely is my life ever perfect, especially with regards to training. So if I can just own something, if I can just be consistent, and try to can help me do that just with my training schedule. And again, that idea of going fast before far, strong before long, I think that just holds up in so many ways, not just with training, but just in general, the human body. And in my background with injury risk prevention, I think that's just is the smart way to go.
Now, we chose to revisit this episode for a reason. Not only is it valuable to gain context for how our training schedule is generated, but BJ, you have a few fun updates for us on some new ways athletes will be able to tweak their workout schedules if, and that's a big if, needed to fit their lifestyle. So what options will athletes now see on the app?
Yeah, I mean, the basic way to think of it, and this is how I've always thought of it, you know, and why I love Tri-Dot is that I love that with my schedule as it is right now, with four kids, my wife and I both work and very busy. You know, I love that I can have my training with Tri-Dot. It can always be there for me when I need it, and it hits me exactly where I need to be. And so with that, I have to have it be flexible for me. I have to be able to adjust it to a certain level to accommodate my life. And that's the thing we've realized, that there's many of our users out there that are like that, where they need it to be flexible, adjustable to a certain degree. And what we know, you know, because Tri-Dot's done the research and looked at all the data, is we know that there are certain things that are more optimal than others. And so we know as, you know, as we've developed the software, that many things are permissible, but not always optimal. And so what we want to do is give the user, the Tri-Dot user, the athlete, an idea of what is optimal and what we can generate for you based on the most optimized schedule that we can create for you. But understanding that if you do have to swim on a Thursday and you just can't hit the swim on the exact day that Tri-Dot feels is most optimal, we have a way of adjusting your schedule based on what you need to make sure that it is optimized the best it can be for where you're at. So I've kind of envisioned, you know, Tri-Dot as we're developing your training fingerprint. And with that, if we can guide you to creating the most optimal training fingerprint, you know, we're putting the ink pad exactly where it needs to be. We're placing the right amount of ink exactly on the finger to create that fingerprint. But ideally, you know, realistically, I should say, oftentimes you can't always be perfect. So with that in mind, how can we still create the best training fingerprint for you within the given parameters? So what we've created with TriDot is just a little bit more adjustability with your ability to adjust sessions and some of the volume as far as specific to those sessions, just being able to adjust the number of sessions in your week, and then also being able to adjust your schedule. So the way TriDot lays out your schedule is it's prioritized based on each discipline, and it's based on, as we know, your TriDot strength in each discipline. And so we have a prioritization that we've created for each session, and we give you options of where you potentially can move that, but still have your training be optimized. Again, doesn't mean it's always the most perfect optimal training schedule, but within the parameters we've set in place, we can optimize it still for you.
I remember being just overjoyed on the while we were recording episode 5, because Jeff Brewer was talking about, you know, what the optimal schedule is, and the schedule I have as a TriDot athlete is the optimum schedule. Now with my job working in this industry, I obviously have a lot of flexibility in when I do my workouts and how I do my workouts, so I can train on the optimal week. But it's really interesting to me. Back when we were starting the podcast, I've been a TriDot athlete just for a year or so. You know, I didn't know all the ins and outs of it, so I didn't realize that the way TriDot crafts my training week is done for a specific reason, and mine just so happens to be the optimal a week, and I try to tweak it as little as possible. Sometimes life gets in the way, or sometimes pool schedules, you know, there's closures on Monday or Friday for holidays, and you gotta move stuff around a little bit, or sometimes the weekend schedule doesn't let you do that long bike when you wanted to. So obviously you can move things when you need to, but I try to as little as possible, knowing that the default week that TriDot gives me, the standard week it gives me, is the most possible with me. And so BJ, now that we're athletes, first of all, have been able to make tweaks to their schedule for a long time, but now you're just making that easier. You're giving more flexibility to the athlete to customize their training week just based on their own personal rhythms and schedules. So BJ, why was the ability to make tweaks given to athletes in the app, and what should we keep in mind as we make those changes?
Yeah, exactly like you said, Andrew. I think, you know, people that have a certain schedule that they know there's a certain day that does work the best for their schedule, there's just no way they can get around that. We don't want them to have to move that session each and every week manually. So we wanted to make it easier for them, give them options to adjust that schedule and maintain that schedule moving forward. So they can set it and leave it, again, within the optimized parameters that we've set. So I think that just giving people flexibility so they don't have to constantly be adjusting, and you know, consistency, like we're saying, is king. So the idea is we give you that flexibility to make adjustments as you need to accommodate with your life schedule. But then we just don't want people to be adjusting that every other day. You know, there is, again, a method to the madness behind the optimization engine of TriDot, and to get the most out of it. Again, it's like this living and breathing training platform that adjusts and adapts to you and creates your training fingerprint. For it to do its work, you need to have consistent inputs too. So that's also what helps there. But yeah, making it available when we know life isn't always perfect with training. We want to make it available to be adjusted and to fit your needs.
Well, that's it for today, folks. I want to thank Dr. BJ Leeper for revisiting episode 5 of the podcast today. Shout out to Precision Fuel and Hydration for partnering with us on today's episode. Remember that you can go to precisionfuelandhydration.com and you can use their free sweat test, the free quick carb calculator, and you can book a free one-on-one video consultation with a member of their team, and then use code TRIDOT10 at the checkout when you make your purchase. Enjoying the podcast? Have any triathlon questions or topics you want to hear us talk about? Head to TriDot.com/podcast and let us know what you're thinking. We'll do it all again soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.